Welcome to another episode of 100 at 100, Research for Our Next Century, a short program to celebrate the 100th birthday of the University of Texas at El Paso. Today's guest is Professor Eddie Castaneda from the Department of Psychology. Eddie, welcome, and tell the audience, what is your passion? What's your research activity here?
Well, hi, it's really great to be here. I have a couple of passions in my life in academia. One is the research that I do, and I don't do enough of it. The second one is nurturing students to know what their potential is. So my research agenda has to do with understanding the plasticity of the brain. And what I'm really interested in is how neurotransmitters fluctuate and how much is released or there's a decrease in release to reflect fluctuations in behavior, how behavior is turned on and turned off. And I really like the idea that at the synapse, those fluctuations, and in this case, dopamine release, how that reflects drug addiction, and how that affects compensation to maintain normal capacity in Parkinson's disease.
So Parkinson's is one of your foci.
That's correct, as well as drug addiction.
Okay.
And the reason I'm interested in both of these disorders is because there seems to be an increase in dopamine release. In the case of Parkinson's disease, that's characterized by a loss of dopamine neurons, but you don't see the motor disorder until there's about 70 or 80% of these dopamine neurons that have disappeared.
So this lack of movement is only seen right at the end.
That's
when
correct.
It's too late. So there
That's
must
correct.
Be earlier symptoms.
There are, but they're very subtle, and they seem to be missed. You see the development progress very slowly. People first start having problems buttoning their shirt with the stiffness in their fingers, and then it broadens into the limbs and eventually into the torso, into the overall posture of the person.
Okay.
But what's interesting is that the cells that haven't died yet seem to compensate and start producing more dopamine, releasing more dopamine. And some of my early research has shown that all you need is 5% of these neurons to be able to maintain normal levels of dopamine within the synapse.
So that's almost like denial. The cells are doing something to tell the rest of the brain there's not a problem.
Well, I think it's more like they're really working hard in overtime, trying to compensate. And so how can we help them do that? What's the plasticity? How can we help them augment how much it's releasing?
Tell us, you used this word twice, plasticity.
Well, plasticity happens in many different ways. Probably the most interesting way has to do with learning and memory. If you believe that the brain is important in storing information, then how has the brain changed by learning experiences? And how does that learning get reflected in the different performances that display this changed behavior? So we think that there's many different kinds of changes that can take place. New connections, new neurons, more enzyme activity, more release of neurotransmitters that increases communication, more receptors that receive the neurotransmitter. There's just a lot of different ways that plasticity can take place.
I remember that some people recover from strokes by learning to sing because activity in one part of the brain sort of somehow mends the other part of the brain.
That's
Is that
right.
part of the same
That's
game?
Right. There's an amazing ability of the brain to have one part of the brain take over function from an area that's now missing. And so there's an invasion of ability and function of adjacent regions especially.
It's very profound, and we'd like to thank Professor Eddie Castaneda from the Department of Psychology for explaining his interest in this whole area.
Wonderful.
My name's Keith Pannell, and you're listening to 100 at 100, Research for Our Next Century in celebration of the 100th birthday of the University of Texas at El Paso. Thank you.